Today we begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, a series of shiurim on kashering kelim. We know that the Gemara and the Aflamin on the Beis that we will refer to in Mitzvah Hashem extensively discusses, as it does in many other places, the halachas of kashering kelim. That if you have a keli that's a chametz tiki keli, how do we make it usable for Pesach? And of course, it depends on what the material the keli is made of, and also how it was used. But before we get into the details of actually how to kosherize a keli, how to kosherize a utensil, the Torah, actually the din of kashering, appears twice in the Torah. The Torah in Parshas Matos says, "V'yom Elozar Kohen Alanche Atzava Haboim Melchama." The pasuk over there is speaking about to these Elozar, is speaking to the soldiers that returned from the battle with Midian, and they took, as they prevailed over Midian, some of the utensils that the Midianim used for eating. And Elazar warned them that in order for them to be able to use these vessels, they have to remove from these vessels any iser that was absorbed into them in order that they should be able to use these kelim. And Elazar says to them, "V'yom Elazar koin al anshi atzova haboim al mechama. Zois chukas haTorah shetziva Hashem es Moshe, achas hazov es hakesev, the gold and the silver, as the nechoshes as a barzel, the copper and the metal, as a bedil as a ferris, the lid, kol dover sheyova be'esh, anything that comes in contact with fire, in its use, taviru be'esh, you have to bring through fire, the tamei, the tohar, and then it will be tar, ach b'mei nida yischata, but aside from the requirement Elazar is telling them of kashering, they also have to be immersed in a mikvah, v'chol ashlo yova ba'esh, and Elazar continues teaching them that anything that is not put into fire, anything that is not used with heat, taviru b'mayim, it's enough if you just immerse it in the mikvah. Similarly, the pasuk says in Vayikra Perek Vav, pasuk of Aleph, the klicheres asher tevashel boy. There, the Torah is speaking about kalim, utensils that were used for cooking a carbon, and we know that all kabonis have a certain amount of time by which they may be eaten. And the Torah says once that time has passed, the klicheres asher tevashel boy, if the carbon was cooked in an earthenware keli, yishover. There is no way of kashering earthenware. It must be broken. Vim b'kli nechoshes b'shalah, but if it was cooked in a copper keli, umorek ushutaf b'mayim, then it should be kosherized and immersed in the water. And again, the basis of all hilchus kashering is because when we use a vessel according to halacha, there is an absorption, whether it's chametz in the sugyas that we're discussing or iser, and therefore if that keli will be used again, that iser or chametz tam absorption that's in the keli will go back into the food, and therefore the only way to avoid this problem is by kosherizing the keli. And what kosherizing accomplishes is that any iser or chametz that's belua, that is absorbed into the keli, is permanently removed. It's interesting to point out, as we just learned, the primary parsha of Hagolas Kelim is here in Parshas Matos, after the Mechemes Midyan. And the Mefarshim ask, Mechemes Midyan, the Rishayim already ask, that the Mechemes Midyan was not the first war that Klal Yisrael had battle with our enemies, where they took Kalim. They already had the Mechemes Sichon V'Oi previously. And therefore the Mefarshim ask, why does the Torah wait until this point? The Har Tzvi, and I saw that the Lubavitch Rebbe has a similar approach. One of the simple teretz is because we have the other pasuk that we just read, the pasuk by Karbonis. Now the parsha of Karbonis actually took place before any battle, and since that parsha took place before any battle, that it was already the first time that we learned the halachas of kashering kalim. Others explain that if we think about that this type of a question, then we could ask this question regarding all of the mitzvahs and the averis that are mentioned in the Torah. And what happened until that parasha is said in the Torah? How did they not have to follow those mitzvahs? Were they not prohibited to transgress those averis? So they answer that what happened was that everything, all of the mitzvahs and all of the averis, were mentioned by Matan Torah. What happened in the course of the history of Klal Yisrael, of Kabbalas HaTorah, of the writing of the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through Moshe Rabbeinu, decided when each particular mitzvah, particular averus should be stated in the Torah. But all of the halachas were already mentioned by Matan Torah. The Das Kanim says that in the battle with Sichon Va'oig, the pasuk says in Parshas Chukas, "V'yetzei l'kras Yisrael ha'midbara." The machama of with Sichon Va'oig actually did not take place in the countries of Sichon Va'oig. Sichon Va'oig came out to the midbar to attack Klal Yisrael. Typically, says the Das Kanim, when they go out to war, they don't bring along the pots and pans and silverware from home. But by Midbar, the Machama, the war with Midian, took place actually in Midian. So Klal Yisrael, so to speak, entered into Midian. And therefore, when they entered into Midian, and Baruch Shem ultimately prevailed, they took along with them, they took as winners in the battle, the Kalim of Midian. The problem with this pshat is that the Achronim ask that the pasuk says v'shlal ha'orim asher lo chadnu, pasuk in Parshas Devarim, Devarim Beis, pasuk lamin hei. So, isn't that talking about all wars? We'll have to say the Mefarshim, that war, that pasuk is referring also only to the Mechemes Midyan, not to the Mechemes Sichon Va'oig. The Ramban has a different approach. The Ramban approach is that Sichon Va'oig were part of the Nachla of Klal Yisrael. And since they were part of the Nachla of Klal Yisrael, the Gemara, he says, in Masech Techulin, Daf Yud Zayin Amar Aleph says that when Klal Yisrael went into battle to capture Eretz Yisrael, says the Gemara, even the Kadli the Chaziri, which means a dried out pork, they were allowed to eat. There was a special rule that during the time of capturing the Nachla of Klal Yisrael, they were allowed to take everything, and therefore there was no Isser. There was no need to kasher the kalim. Midyan, however, says the Ramban, was not part of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, when they took their kalim, they had to kasher. The problem with this pshat asked through Rishonim is that what is considered kibush that has this special leniency is only what Yeshua captured, not anything else. And therefore, you can't say that Sichem V'Oig has this special dispensation. Another teretz, therefore, the Rishonim suggest is that they declared that everything of Sichem V'Oig should be in a Cherim. As the Pasuk says, V'nachrim kol ir misim. So there was no point in kashering their kalim because they weren't allowed to use the kalim at all. Another pshat with this, with the Ramban, another problem with this approach is that the pasuk on which the Gemara in Masechta Chulin derives the leniency says, "V'hoyi kviyach Hashem alakech al aretz, ubat the meleim kol tov." So that pasuk is speaking about v'hoyi kviyacha, only when they arrive in Eretz Yisrael, not prior to their arriving to Eretz Yisrael. The mechemes sichem v'oig was still when they were in the midbar, and as the mefarshim explained, the reason the Torah was lenient on with these things was only when they arrived in Eretz Yisrael, when they no longer had the mon, were they allowed to have certain leniencies. In fact, there are many mefarshim that say, and they say that the Rambam holds that way, that this dispensation that we refer to from the Gemara Masechta Chulin, Daf Yud Zayin, that afilu kadli dechazri, even dried out pork is permitted, say to Mefarshim, that was only if they have no other option. But if they have another option, they have an option to eat kosher food, of course they weren't allowed to eat non-kosher food. Or if they could eat, if they could kasher the kalim, they have no right not to kasher the kalim. And therefore, or another pshat, only while they were engaged in battle, so the Torah gives them certain leniencies. And actually, I saw the Mefarshim say that perhaps is one of the reasons why maybe the Torah didn't teach us the halakhas of kashering by Mechemes Sichem V'Oig. Because as we will be learning in Mitzvah Hashem, one of the fundamental rules of kashering that is a rule that we will keep on referring back to is the halakha of Nois Tam L'Pgam. That once the taste that's absorbed in the vessel becomes foul tasting, the requirement for kashering really doesn't exist, certainly b'diavad. So the Mefarshim say that the Gemara says in Masechet Avodah Zarah, the Gemara says in Masechet Tainis, k'shem sh'om d'chamel Yeshua, just like we find that the Son stood still on behalf of Yeshua, kach om d'l'moshe Rabbeinu b'melchemes Sichem V'Oig. So that means that during the Mechama of Sichem V'Oig, there must have been at least 24 hours of battle. Because otherwise, what's the point that the sun stood still? Once the keli is not used for 24 hours, so the keli becomes a keli that's ena ben yoyma. And the halacha is that any tam, any absorption that's in a keli for more than 24 hours becomes nois tam abgam. Technically, they therefore do not require kashering. However, Mechemes Midyan, which did not take 24 hours, so the kalim that they took from Midyan were kalim which were b'nei yoyman, a keli that was used within 24 hours for non-kosher absorption requires kashering midaraisa, And therefore, the Torah chose to teach us the halacha of kashering, where it's absolutely required, which happened by the Mechemes Midjan, rather than the Mechemes Sichem V'Oig, where the Kalim were not absolutely treif. I saw a beautiful vort from the Kotzker Rebbe. He says that what is the underlying concept? It's important to speak about this as we begin our series of Shurim on Kashrim. What is the underlying concept of Kashrim? If we think about the underlying concept of Kashrim, the underlying concept is that it's not just what you see is a problem. Even what's absorbed into the keli has to be removed. So he says, by Mechemes Sichem V'Oig, we don't find that the Torah speaks about that the Machshava, that the thoughts of Klal Yisrael were affected. By Mechemes Midyan, we know that the Torah says, B'nechleim asher nichlu. What was their entire plan? Their entire plan was to affect the way we think, to bring to us Machshavas Raz. Therefore, there is no Melchama that teaches us the importance of what's inside, not only what's visible, but even what's inside, which is the whole lesson of Agolas Kalim, more than Melchemes Midyan. But as we discuss the halachas of Kashrim, there's an obvious question, and that is that we know, and we find this rule numerous times throughout Shas, of Ein Mevatlin Isser L'Chatchila. That the halacha is that you're not allowed to take isser, you're not allowed to take a drop of milk and put it into a pot of meat, even if that drop of milk will be nullified b'shishim, will be bottled b'shishim. So now let's think about it. What do we do when we kasher? When we're kashering, we're taking out the isser. And why isn't that considered Ein Mevatlin Isser L'Chatchila? It's particularly a difficult question because there's a machloikis rishonim, machloikis Rambam and Ravid, if the halacha of Ein Mevatlin Isser L'Chatchila is midoraisa, or is Ein Mevatlin Isser L'Chatchila only a din derabbanan? The Rambam holds that Ein Mevatlin Isser L'Chatchila is a din derabbanan. The Ravid holds that Ein Mevatlin Isser L'Chatchila is a din deraisa. So you're mevatel by kashering the keli, you're mevatel this, so you have a tray for keli, and by doing kashering, you're being mevatel that isser. And why is that not considered a problem of mevatel isser l'chatchila? So many rishonim say that when I kasher a keli, my goal is not to mevatel the isser. My goal is to remove the isser from the keli. And therefore, that's not considered a mevatel isser l'chatchila. In other words, if I specifically put something non-kosher, a non-kosher ingredient, even if it's bottled, into a pot with kosher food, so I specifically, intentionally wanted to have the isser. Here, I'm not interested in the isser. I'm interested in the pat. And therefore, that's not considered a mevatel isser l'chatchila. According to this, say the Rishonim already, if that's the concept why kashering is permitted and it doesn't reflect a problem of a mevatel isser l'chatchila, say the Mefarshim, the water that's used to kasher, and this is something that we need to know, lahalokha, would not be allowed to be used. Because that water has an isser. And certainly, as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, when we use water to kasher, we have to use a lot of water, that there should be more than shishim versus the defanis, more than the belia in the walls of the keli. But now I have water with isser in it. And using that water means that I want to have water with isser in it, and you will not be allowed to use that water. And therefore, indeed, the halacha would be, according to these Rishonim, you could kasher, but not use the issur. Another pshat that the Rishonim already give, that aim of atl issur chatchila is only when you intend to have hanor from that issur. Again, I put a drop of milk into my pot of meat. So I intend to eat that food that has the milk and the meat together. However, here, I have no intention to have any hanor from this bitl issur, and therefore, there is no problem of emavatlan issur chatchila. Particularly, as we said before, when we kasher, we always try to kasher a keli that is less than shishim. So since we always try, that's not used recently, so it's a nice tam of gam. By nice tam of gam, so we're not really mevatel isser, because the tam is not really tam isser, because the tam is tam pogum. Another teretz that the Achronim suggest, that the only time we apply the concept of ein mevatel isser chatchila is when we have another option. We don't need to cook the meat with the milk in it. We don't need to put isser into heter. So if you go and do so, that is considered being mevatel isser chatchila. But when it comes to kashering your kelim, there is no other way to kasher your kelim other than doing the different mechanisms that we're going to be discussing. Since there are no other options available, that isn't considered bitul issa l'chatchila. So just to review, the reason there is no problem of ein mevatel issa l'chatchila when you kasher is because you're not interested in the isser, you're just interested in the pot. Another reason is because you don't have any hanor from this act. Another reason is because there are no other options how to make this vessel usable. But to further review, once we have these halachas, we shouldn't use the water that we use the kasher for our own purpose, because that water has some isser mixed into it. And furthermore, we should preferably, which anyway is the halacha as we will discuss, wait until the keli hasn't been used for 24 hours. And by waiting until the keli hasn't been used for 24 hours, the isser is pogum. And once the isser is pogum, we have much less of a concern regarding the issue of ein mevatel isser l'chatchila.